We begin in Roanoke, Virginia, where a newspaper is still thriving after 80 years. The Roanoke Tribune is a family-owned African-American newspaper. Back in early March, as the pandemic was just starting to unfold, reporter Mason Adams went to see the newspaper staff in action and learn about how they've survived all these years.
Wednesday nights are the busiest part of the week at the Roanoke Tribune. That's the day that 4,500 copies of the weekly paper show up from the printer. It's all hands on deck as the staff gathers the fold, label, and stack each paper so that they can go to the post office before the day's last mail run. The Roanoke Tribune isn't just a community paper. It's a family paper, owned and operated by a family that's been doing this for four generations. And three generations are here this evening. Claudia Shaw is the youngest to have picked up the family business.
Probably started about five or six folding papers.
Her mother, Eva Shaw Gill, started working at the paper as a child, too.
Most kids have chores to wash dishes and make up their bed. We had to come to the Tribune.
Then there's Stan Hale, Eva's older brother.
Stan the man. Yeah, baby. They say you look like a machine when you get started.
Stan's the paper's spark plug, and he's really fast at folding papers.
Been everything, worn all the hats from time to time. Been here since, I started when I was about 11 years old.
In the eye of the storm stands publisher Claudia Whitworth, age 92. Claudia, spelled with a C, or C. Claudia to distinguish her from her granddaughter, K. Claudia, started in the newspaper business in 1945. She bought the paper from her father in 1971 and continues to publish today. Her philosophy? To shine a positive light on Roanoke's black community.
Always the positive. I said no negatives. It's like a letter from home.
Claudia's focus on positivity has occasionally brought her into conflict with her peers in the publishing industry. She remembers going to a national conference of black-owned and operated newspapers several years ago and getting into a debate with a tabloid publisher from the West Coast.
And I had to question him. I said, every front page of his paper would have murders, rapes, something. And I said, why on earth would you do something like this when that's what people think of us anyhow? You know, I challenged him in the national conference, and he said, because good news doesn't sell. And I said, okay, I'm going to prove you wrong. And none of them exist. Every one of them are out of, and my little good news don't sell is still out here and hadn't missed an issue.
Claudia's father, the Reverend F.E. Alexander, founded the Roanoke Tribune in 1939. Claudia went to work there 6 years later, but she quickly grew frustrated, partly because her father limited what she could do because she was a woman. So she started a pattern of moving to work on black newspapers elsewhere, then coming back home. That's how she learned the business. Claudia vividly remembers the joy she found in the physical process of setting type and arranging letters onto the page. When she started out, that process involved arranging molten lead alloys in a linotype machine. When they cooled, they'd form slugs that would be used to press ink onto newsprint paper.
You dump all of it in, and you put the fire in it, and it all melts, and then the dirt all floats to the top. And I would had a thing that you skim the dirt off, and that just pure metal, just shiny as new, every week. And it just had sort of a spiritual thing to it, how you can skim that dust off and just be pure again.
They look like gold bars. It was just
silly. I loved it. I loved everything about it.
Claudia worked at newspapers in Dayton, Cleveland, Columbus, Ohio, and in New York City. But she never forgot where she came from.
Well, my intention was always to come back and take care of my own paper, but I just needed experience.
Claudia took full control of the Roanoke Tribune in 1971 when she bought it from her father. She since has forged a powerful legacy with the Roanoke Tribune. For the nearly 30% of Roanokers who identify as African-American, the Tribune serves as a positive reflection of their community. She's kept it going, even through a time when newspapers around the country are struggling to stay in business.
Well, she's a force of nature. That's exactly what she is. She's a larger-than-life personality. She is a very driven woman. She always has been.
That's Reginald Sharif, a political science professor at Radford University, who grew up in Roanoke and literally wrote the book on the city's black history. The Tribune has been a consistent presence his entire life.
Yeah, well, I don't know when I don't remember it because we received a subscription at home, and it was a way for everybody in Roanoke to keep up with what was going on in the black community, but also for those who had moved away. So at a time when many African-American people felt invisible in our communities, those black newspapers, both locally and nationally, kept us informed.
And it kept readers informed, even during difficult periods. Beginning in the 1950s, Roanoke City government demolished dozens of neighborhoods blocks to make way for a new interstate, civic center, and other redevelopment. Urban renewal also destroyed much of Roanoke's Black Business District, a longtime cultural hub that had attracted touring jazz musicians, as well as pioneering filmmaker Oscar Micheaux. The Roanoke Tribune was located there, too. Claudia remembers how she learned that the Tribune was being torn down.
My phone rings at 8 o'clock in the morning. They said, do you know they bulldozed in the Tribune? They bulldozed the Tribune and everything.
All the equipment
over
inside.
That night. I come there, my stuff is all in the sidewalk and everything. They had bulldozed everything.
Even through all that, Claudia never missed an issue. She had kept photo-setting equipment at home and so was able to keep publishing, even after her building was destroyed. The Roanoke Tribune persisted, moving to its current location on Melrose Avenue. They've adopted new technology over the years, too, incorporating computers and publishing not only in print, but online. It takes an iron will and high standards to keep a newspaper going, especially through all that. You can see that in how Claudia has raised her children and grandchildren.
One thing she's always been on me about is my grammar, and how I speak.
She's on
how I walk, my posture.
Everybody about that.
No, oh, yeah.
Everybody about that. It's old school.
Remember I told you I moved away. I was gone for 15 years, and I used to write my mom letters every week.
I had edited them.
And when I get home, she has all my letters marked, circled.
Edited.
Mm-hmm. So
capitalized.
I said, instead of her being happy to hear from me, I got to see all of this pile of mail edited. You should have said this. You should have
used that word. Yes, your past participles.
Oh, Lord.
The Roanoke Tribune carries on, even as the novel coronavirus pandemic shut down most of America. But the Tribune is still going. It's still publishing. It survived Jim Crow laws. It survived the destruction of its building during urban renewal. And now it's surviving the pandemic and the death of print. What's its secret? I think the answer can be found on Wednesday nights, when the staff gathers to process papers and deliver them to their community. This isn't just a newspaper. It's a family. For Inside Appalachia, I'm Mason Adams in Roanoke, Virginia.
A newspaper that's more than ink on paper. The Roanoke Tribune's mission is making and recording black history since 1939.